Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome and thank you for joining us today. This is an hour devoted to learning something more, not just about the world of shoes and ships and sealing wax, as my pretty bride likes me to say, but also about how, what, and why we think and believe as we do. An hour for the open-minded, willing to challenge some of those old ideas behind what we think we know, who we are, and who we might become. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Provocative Enlightenment. All right, our chat room is open, and my partner Ravindra awaits you there now. You can log on by going to eldontaylor.com/chat. So, Ravindra, time to say hello to everyone and tell us about your chat room.
Well, hello, everyone. And, of course, the chat room is the only place to be. We have a marvelous group of people, you know. You can come join us in the chat room. It's www.eldontaylor.com/chat.
All right. Now, tomorrow is your day of choice for celebration. But officially, Rav, today is a very special day, your 50th birthday. You have done your seven cycles of seven, and now you enter the magical age, so the numerologists and psychics might say. Therefore, my lovely bride, let me officially say, happy birthday, princess.
Thank
now,
you,
so everyone gets the princess bit. Ravinder's middle name is Kar, and Kar means princess. So since I met her, she has always been my pretty princess, and she just gets prettier every year. Now, so the whole world knows this. I have a special birthday song for you, dearest. Have to say for yourself now with a half a century of learning behind you, dearest.
That has to be one of the best presents ever. That was just so adorable. That sounded like Dee Dee Mercy Moffat.
No, well, it wasn't, but you know.
It wasn't?
No, it wasn't.
Wow. It was how did you do that?
Oh, I have my secrets. But all right, let's get on to today's show. Happy birthday, dear.
Thanks, babe.
All right, every week I read some of your letters as our way of paying homage to the very important role you play in making this show successful. Last week, our guests were Drs. J.J. and Desiree Hertak, and we discussed J.J.'s experience with the angels Enoch and Metatron, an experience that led to writing the Book of Knowledge, Keys of Enoch, and we also discussed the idea of the Overself Awakening. Marta wrote, I enjoyed the show with the Hertaks. Thanks for bringing them on. Karen commented, great show. Love your CDs, too. They are really working in my life. Daniel wrote, yesterday I had an appointment and visited my psychiatrist. I arrived a different person. This is thanks to you. I live a different life these days and see how my personal and professional life is brightening up. Many thanks, Eldon, and my very best regards. Well, we're thrilled for you, Daniel. Keep it up. Alfred wrote, I want you to know that I'm very thankful to you for all your wisdom and knowledge. I love listening to your Inner Talk programs because they work. Michael wrote, I own Miracle Mindedness, and it is a great CD. You know, Michael, that's one of my favorites as well. Charles wrote, your products have helped me more than I can say without multiple pages. Charles, you can have multiple pages. That's okay with me. I enjoy reading your notes. Mark wrote, I just got done listening to the radio show with guests Drs. J.J. and Desiree Hertak on Overself Awakening, exploring the existence of a higher reality. While I'm open to listening to their thoughts on the field of consciousness studies, I was disturbed by what was not said, namely their collectivist views and vision for the planet. Such views reflect the typical views among thought leaders in the spiritual movement of a collectivist spiritual utopia, which I find elitist and almost dictatorial. Forgive my indulgence in vetting, but that has been a pet peeve of mine for years. Richard remarked, credibility. The Urantia Book, Book of Mormon. How many revelations? With only a thin string of consistencies. How many different symbols? Divine Mother. And yet the Old Testament and New is insistent that there is only one God and one way. Islam, and the list goes on. Yet the Judeo-Christian documents stand in there saying there is only one. While every speaker I've heard about current spirituality insists all world religions are the same. I have yet to find a satisfactory answer. Well, Richard, this may just be the perfect show for you. For today, we're going to talk about those who know, in quotation marks, those who search, those who don't care, and so forth, and yet have in common life experiences that appear to be both answers to their prayers and or miracles. So with that, I'll use your comments to segue into today's show, but first let me thank everyone for their letters and feedback. We can't get all your letters and remarks on the air, but they do impact our programming, and I invite you to opine by sending your email to eldon@eldontaylor.com or by joining me on Facebook. And once again, we both appreciate and thank you for your feedback and continued support. So now to today's show, the spiritual connection. An innate spiritual intelligence, or what I think of as SQ. Richard's letter really is the perfect introduction because the data reveals the confusion among many of us, at least those of us who live in the Western world, regarding religion and spiritual practices in general. More and more people are turning away not just from organized religion, but from spirituality under any auspices. Whilst at the same time, more and more new documents and practices are coming forth touting the path to salvation, nirvana, bliss, and otherworldly benefits. In the past century alone, we have added many texts, including the Course in Miracles, the Urantia Papers, the Book of Knowledge, the documents of the Great White Brotherhood, or what's more commonly known as the Saint Germain series, such as the I Am Discourses, as well as the materials of Ekankar and Scientology and more, and that's not to mention major new religions and or spiritual teachings that have come on the scene in just the last 200 or so years, such as Sikhism, Adonism, Rosicrucianism, Mormonism, Assemblies of Yahweh, Astara, Freedomite, Unity, the Church of Religious Science, and on and on. Now, add to that the hundreds of other extant religions with their derivations and different truths, and no wonder there is a field of folks out there somewhat confused. Not to spurn or imply in any way that any of these paths are wrong. However, I doubt that one lifetime is sufficient to honestly and truly investigate every one of the available faith systems, practices, and the like in an honest attempt to make a choice based on a genuine, informed comparison of all. A little bit closer to home, the so-called New Age movement is equally confused, but perhaps in a more eclectic way. For there is a smither of this, a dabble of that, a bit of this other, add a hint of, well, you get the idea. That is why we find informed scholars describing the field in less than favorable terms, sometimes as occult, or as special cults, and so forth. When we do get the favorable description, it is likely to read like this one by Benjamin Zeller. Quote, unlike most other religions, the New Age possesses no central scriptures. Practicing a religion that is really a disparate and informal network, New Age practitioners, sometimes also called New Agers, freely choose from a variety of options to guide them in their spiritual development. Over time, these possible scriptural choices have attained a truly massive volume with major merchants such as Barnes & Noble and Amazon stocking thousands of New Age titles and smaller New Age bookstores offering many more self-published or regionally distributed texts. New Age practitioners might employ any of these materials as a scriptural guide. However, because the New Age so strongly values individual identity and self-development, the movement's general outlook discourages long-term adoption of a particular text as a scripture. In keeping with a conceptualization of gradual personal evolution and self-actualization, members of the New Age subculture rapidly adopt new texts and leave behind older ones. Close quote. When we seriously search the literature, we find many different worldviews. The Gita informs us that the universe is a vast organic unity that is itself divine. It's not something that stands between us and the divine. This is not the view of a transcendent God, and instead sees us as already divine as a part of the unity of divine. The Nicomachean ethics inform us that happiness is dependent upon things, pleasure, honor, wealth, and so on, partly for themselves and partly because we assume that through them we will be happy. Aristotle argues that happiness is the highest good, defining happiness as, quote, that which taken by itself makes life something desirable and deficient nothing, close quote. Further, to know what happiness is, we must first know the function of something, and it follows that the function of man is reason. Therefore, the function of man is an activity of the soul which follows or implies a rational principle. This entails three requisites of internal character, according to Aristotle, and they are virtue, practical wisdom, and moral strength. From the book of Job, we are given a vision of meaning. A meaning of life in terms of the vast universe with a personified deity in which we are but small players. Indeed, according to Professor Jay Garfield, quote, we might think that the universe is organized to reward and punish us, but the book of Job tells us that we're not all that important. Our lives are indeed ephemeral. There might be a divinity in the world, but whatever it is, it's not about justice and it's not about us. Life is not meaningless, but we may live our lives without ever knowing its meaning. Close quote. Now, a Hellenistic view, Stoicism, agrees with Aristotle about our rational nature and that our moral life requires rational control, and they share the insights of the Gita that the most important aspect of our nature is that part that we share with the divine. But for the Stoics, we had to overcome our emotions. And we should realize that finitude is the nature of human life and of reality. By understanding this, we will know how to give our lives more meaning. The Torah tells us in chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, quote, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowl of the air, for it repenteth me, and I have made them. So, what are we to take from that? That the Lord believed he'd made a grave mistake in creating man and earth? For Buddha, it's the Four Noble Truths, and we could continue this brief comparison for some time, but all we would learn would only instruct us in the diversity of views that actually exist, and they don't all say the same thing, contrary perhaps to popular opinion. Okay, hearken back to last week. Remember Dr. Hertak spoke about the nuns at Hiroshima who hid from the atomic bomb blast under their robes and were protected from radiation. Somehow, a miracle, of course, they went totally unharmed, and as I pointed out last week, there are many instances where believers have been miraculously saved by their tallit, prayer shawl, garments, and the like. Indeed, in nearly every testimonial meeting I attended as a young man in the LDS faith, someone volunteered to share their testimony, and it invariably involved the saving of their bodies, the protected by their garments. Now, there are also many stories and documented instances where special dispensation seems to be handed out from above. Miracles happen, lives are saved, near tragedies averted, and so much more. And from people of all walks of life and faith. In fact, it appears that the one common denominator is their belief in a higher power. even if the belief is tentative and fleeting. For example, we have numerous stories of individuals who consider themselves to be non-believers, but who in a moment of need turn and pray, and their prayer is answered. Practically speaking, there are many other advantages to being spiritually connected. A study I read just last week reported that spirituality is correlated with better mental health, regardless of religion. Indeed, Professor Dan Cohen of the University of Missouri, where the study was conducted, had this to say, and it's a very important comment. Quote, "In many ways, the results of our study support the idea that spirituality functions as a personality trait." Close quote. Researchers around the world have demonstrated such things as the power of prayer to heal, the positive influence of spirituality on the immune system, the correlation between spirituality and wellness, and for that matter, longevity, to remark on but a few areas dealing with the quality of life. Further, these findings are again independent of specific religions or spiritual practices. So, the fact is, in the end analysis, it matters much more what's in your heart than what's in your head. It's the awe, the wonder, the gratitude, the joy that comes from feeling connected to it all, solidly connected to our higher selves and therefore the divine. Most of us have known at least fleeting moments when this connection manifests itself and peace bathed our being. Everything seemed to work just perfectly, as it should, and we knew the bliss, the peace that passeth understanding. But then it left us. The mundane world gained hold again, and we were back in life dealing with this and that, hardly none of which really matters. Robbed of our moment by the pressures of fear, and fear is everywhere being drummed into us by the merchants who would have us believe we were deficient and therefore needed their goods, by the politicians intent on persuading us of the dangers the opposition presents, and so on. So it's fear, lack, anger, revenge, greed, sorrow, sadness, and on. But wait, they were not the true robbers. We were. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, we made a choice, and that choice stole our moment. So what is it that we can all do to live in the presence of this higher power on a 24/7 basis and thereby enjoy all of the good things, whether they be the simple synchronistic answers to our thoughts and desires, or the miraculous interventions that lift us up somehow from certain death, or the more simple daily joys that come from living a rewarding life? I think we know the answer to that. Here at Provocative Enlightenment, we work to bring you a variety of shows full of ideas, ideas designed to assist us in being informed and awake. Not all of our guests agree, and I don't always agree with a guest either, but they have a vision or interpretation or insight that is worth hearing out. In that process, we all grow. There are commonalities, however. We have learned of the incredible importance placed on forgiveness. We know of the ultimate power and unconditional love. We have gained the ability and openness to move away from the soundbite reasoning that so often dominates everything, not just politics and consumerism, but the moral arguments of the day. And most importantly, we have learned to hold our thoughts in the body of a higher reality, for that's when it all works for us. I think of this holding of thoughts as remaining spiritually connected at all times, whatever happens. Indeed, my magic bullet is always, "Thy will be done." For me, I recognize that my perfect will is God's will, whatever God might be. I no longer try to define the Creator or the divine and so forth. I've studied enough comparative religions, philosophy, psychology, linguistics, and metaphysics to know that the finite cannot comprehend the infinite. Our language is literally incapable of that task. Indeed, as the great Indian philosopher Nagarjuna argued, "Tell me what you believe, and I will show you its falseness and limitations. For the limited cannot by definition know the unlimited." As such, we must be content with that recognition and strive to live the best lives we can. What I do know as a matter of experience and intellect is that there is more. My life and the personal miracles I have been blessed with unequivocally attest to that, as does my pretty bride's. In my book, What Does That Mean?, I shared many of these miracles openly and candidly with all. I have collected miracle stories for years and read hundreds of other accounts. I have spoken to people around the world, and they all tell me about events, sometimes little happenings, that simply cannot be explained using our linear left brains or the knowledge set available to science. And let me add this. There is no such thing as degrees of miracles. A miracle is a miracle. There is no 10 miracle or 5 miracle or 2 miracle on some scale. A miracle is just that, a miracle. So many of these so-called smaller miracles aren't smaller at all. So once again, I ask, how do we gain that special sense of connectedness and keep it fully focused while we live in the world, but not of the world? Well, for me, that has been both a lifelong pursuit and a daily wonder. And for me and those I have worked with, it is all in keeping our minds on what really matters. Let thine eye be single. Our priorities, our gratitude, our daily recognition of even the tiniest of wonders, this and more, is the path to holding on to that special sense of connectedness. I believe that mankind has an innate spiritual intelligence, and the development or awakening of this intelligence has both social consequences and individual health ramifications. I have found that affirmations that appeal to the higher sense of being, a supreme purpose to creation, the beauty and miraculous nature of life itself, can produce remarkable outcomes. This past Sunday was Palm Sunday, and today is Passover. Friday is Good Friday, and this next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Now, irrespective of your spiritual affiliation, this is a good time to renew your spiritual commitment, to set some time off each day to read something inspiring, to focus your mindset on what really matters. And to that end, we have designed a special program to assist you in this process. So, Ravinder, you're up. And we've got a hard break coming in about 2.5 minutes here. I would like you to tell us, before we go any further, before the break, how important has it been for you to maintain in your life, in your presence, despite changes in your chemistry, your body chemistry, the hormones, and so on and so forth, this focus on spiritual connectedness?
This has to be the most important thing to me. This is what my life is all about. You know, the fact is, you've got lots of amazing programs. We've had incredible testimonials from people who have used, say, prosperity and abundance. And, you know, they've experienced miraculous things. But when it's the spiritual connectedness, when you feel that you're in tune, everything just works. When I have felt out of tune, when I have felt disconnected, it's like going upstream, you know, against the tide through rapids. It can just get nasty. But when you're in the flow, everything is wonderful. And as a result, your health is better because the stress and all of that stuff just goes from you. For me, the creativity gets enhanced because, you know, my thoughts aren't cluttered with lots of other things. You know, it's like I have this direct line to a higher self, a higher power. You know, I'm not going to define that. I'm not going to put that in a box. But life just works, and there isn't anything more important to me, and that's what I strive for. And I want to stay within the center of that stream constantly. I love it.
You know, both of us were raised, you were raised Sikh, and I was raised LDS. We were both raised within a restricted environment where you had to do it a certain way, or forgive me, you'd go to hell. I mean, it's that simple, okay? There was a very definite punishment-reward system. And in our process, we've kind of moved to a place where that's not what it's about at all. It's really, I mean, whether that exists or not, it's really more a matter of remaining focused, connected, as you say, in that place. Well, we're out of time. When we come back from the break, you implied some things. I'm going to pick from you what they were. We're speaking about spiritual connectedness. If you're not already in our chat room, now's a great time to join in the conversation. We have a film for you today. Just go to eldentaylor.com/chat. Do stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up after a few words from some of our friends.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
And welcome back. If you just joined us, we're discussing spiritual connectedness. But before we get back to the show, I want to invite you to join me on Facebook. I post regularly everything from where I am and what's on next to the latest in science, technology, and consciousness studies. And from time to time, some of my own opinions about the world we live in. All right, let's get back to our show. Ravinder, before the break, you know, I was essentially setting up this notion of punishment and reward. Mm-hmm. Now, neither of us practice spirituality because of either of those forces. You know, expand on that for me.
You know, that whole approach is really common. I've known numerous religious people who regret something they have done, not because they have done something wrong, but because it has put them out of favor with what they think of as God. You know, it's almost like their heart's not in it. They're only in it for the reward that they think that they will possibly get. And it's like, you're missing it. You're missing it totally, because the reward comes from just that feeling of connection. That's what I pray for more than anything in the world, is to live in God's shadow, you know, to follow Jesus. And I'm not Christian, but I do see Jesus as a really, really special individual, and to be able to walk right behind him constantly. And that is what the spiritual life is about. Things are just full of awe. Life is wonderful. It's magical. Things happen when you're in that place. So no, reward, punishment doesn't have anything to do with it. It's love.
So what you're saying is, you know, you have icons. And these icons say, Jesus of Nazareth. These icons for you provided a path, and if you could live in that path,
yep, I want to be that.
You know, as I believe, I mean, Jesus, of course, said, "Why would you use my words and not do my deeds?" If you could do that, you would find this happiness that you seek spiritually.
That is the goal, you know. But the fact is, it's a journey. So it's not a case of, okay, if I have this one thing, everything is wonderful. It's being in that place so that everything else can unfold.
But now it could
the way
just
that
as,
it's supposed to.
It could just as well be the Buddha.
Uh-huh.
Or it could be, for that matter, is in the setup piece, it could be any faith. It's really not the intellectual aspect of, well, these are my articles of faith, and this is the...
No, not at all.
It's more a matter of what's seated in my heart. Mm-hmm. It is a matter of the unconditional love. It is a matter of the absence of anger and aggression. And you get to that point out of...
love, connectedness.
And?
And this is like a... multiple choice question. Yeah.
See, to me, I think you get to that point. Yeah, all those things are true, but you come to that point when you realize the awe of it all. You know, the innocence that a child has when everything is just spectacular. It's, you know, we dumb that down. We dumb it down in large because we learn all this information. So there's nothing spectacular about flipping a switch and having lights come on after dark. But that's spectacular if you think about it.
It is.
What's even more spectacular is what nature does. You know, you and I are interviewing people on the road, and we're asking, what do they get out of spirituality? And what we found is, if we go into nature and they're standing by the Grand Canyon or in Zion's, mm-hmm. and they're looking at this creation, they feel much more connected automatically than when they're back home on the asphalt with the fumes of the bus that's sitting in front of you, stuffing your car full of diesel. Is that right or wrong?
It is. It's a real challenge in today's civilized...
So you and I talked about this, and we decided that we were going to do something, and it was going to be, you know, as much of a gift as we could probably do. for everyone. And we put a package together. And today is the day you're debuting that package. So please tell us about that.
This has to be my all-time favorite that we have managed to put together. The collection that we're talking about is called Spiritual Connectedness. And this is, it consists of 8 CDs and a booklet and a book as well. But it's all designed to get you in tune with yourself and in tune with the higher power. You know, we're all aware that belief is really important, but how do you get to really believing that you and God, or me and God, are one, that I can have access to all of that? This collection is definitely the best thing we've ever done. This actually is a $240 value. But when we put together these introductory offers, you know, we can go out of house and get stuff done. And we've managed to bring this down to just $79. So that is a heck of a price, and I think a heck of a service.
So what's in it? Tell me what's in it. I mean, and would it work for somebody? I mean, I know when you say that you and God are one, what you're really saying is that you're a divine spark. I mean, you were created by God, and that the kingdom of heaven is within, that the presence is within. But what if you were one of these people that you felt, you know, you were a miserable, pithy, pitiful little person that, there was nothing that you could do to save yourself. That was just simply up to the capriciousness or arbitrary nature of the universe. Would it be a benefit to them? Explain exactly what's in the program for us.
Tell you what I'll do. I'll make that even better. I'll tell you the titles of the program, and then I'm going to read you some of the affirmations. And remember, the way Inner Talk works is it changes how you talk to yourself. So this isn't just the superficial chit-chat that we all do to ourselves. This is that inner belief, that inner talk.
Let me get you to hold it 1 second before you get into the titles, because I think there's a premise here that's important to understand. Our work and our research, we look at the behavioral science community looks at IQ. We all know what that is. It looks at EQ, emotional quotient. We all know what that is. But years ago, we did some work, and it appeared that there was such a thing as an SQ, what I call the spiritual quotient. And that is it. We were all born that way. In fact, I'm on record of stating in many places that in order to become an atheist, you have to learn that. You're not born atheistic. You're not born thinking that way. We're wired, hardwired in such a way that you can stimulate areas of the brain and actually, you know, produce a spiritual experience. So however we have been created, we have been created with this latent spiritual quotient, or this spiritual intelligence that sometimes just gets shut down, shoved away, and becomes a secondary item of interest. And even those that go to church regularly on Sunday often ignore it totally because they're just doing their ceremonial thing, you know.
The routine.
Okay. So now with that in place, it may make more sense as to what you're trying to achieve with these programs. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, it is. I mean, I see it as like having a conduit, a connection to God. We all have it, but for some of us, it is really, really thin, really, really fine. I'm looking at expanding that so more and more can flow in both directions. So the title's in this. And as I said, you're going to love the affirmations because I love the affirmations. So of course you will. Metaphysical oneness, you know, you can use this program to immerse yourself in the oneness of all. So the affirmations here are, I release all that is not divine. I am one with the divine. Love is oneness. I express divine thought and action. I am in peace, balance, and harmony. I live in oneness. The next title is opening up to a higher power. And this is one that I have used a lot. It simply works. As I am a creation of the divine. I was created perfectly. I am in touch with a higher power within. Only the eternal is real. Love cancels fear. And as I said, that is one of my old, I've used all of these actually, so that's kind of hard for me to tell, but that's one of my favorites. Love, Light, and Life. I used to play at nighttime while we slept, and it changes the quality of sleep totally. So this is, I am a child of God. I am loved by God. I love God. God gifted me with life. Life is eternal. I am eternal. I accept God's love. I accept myself. So just picture those thoughts going through your mind as you're falling asleep, you know, all night long as you sleep, and you'll have some idea of the magic that can happen there. Then we have contact meditation. You can use this one two ways. You can just play it in the background, or you can use it to begin a meditation because it just helps you get in the correct frame of mind. And there it's time to be still, relaxed, calm, at peace with myself and the world around me. Allow, breathe deeply, evenly, rhythmically, trust and let go. You know, when you try to meditate, we all know you're supposed to clear your thoughts. And the more you try to clear your thoughts, the harder it can be sometimes. So this one is a huge help. And those first four programs I've mentioned to you come in the music format. So you can play those during the day, but the music is gentle. So you can play them at nighttime as you sleep as well. The next program is Humble and Powerful. You know, where you can discover the immense power that comes when you simply accept your place in this wonderful creation. It says, I'm a child of the universe. I am one with the universe. I am in harmony with the universe. We are all children of the universe. I am a gift from the divine. I am patient. I attract harmony. Living is a gift. I attract balance. Power is unconditional love. Then we have expecting a miracle, and people have talked about miraculous things happening when they work with this one. It's God loves me. I am eternal. God forgives me. I am a miracle. I am a gift. God's presence resides within me. I express God's love. You're just so totally in tune when, you know, you have that kind of thought pattern going on behind you. Centering, you know, this is one that it's a spiritual program, but you can use this program whenever you are off balance as well. It's, I am a master of myself. I center my thoughts. I observe my emotions. I see good in all. I am eternal. I learn without resistance. I have all I need to be happy now. And that's going to balance you. Just no ands, ifs, or buts about it. And the last program in the collection, again, is one of my favorites. That is Power of the Spirit. I am one with God. God's spirit is my spirit. God's divine spirit pervades me always. I fix my thoughts and attention steadfastly on God and his divine perfections. I stand steadfastly with my being fixed on God. And that's exactly what I was saying to you before when I pray, meditate. I want to walk right beside Jesus or Guru Nanak. I want to be right there. You know, I want to learn. I want to. So, yeah, it's absolutely magical.
Now, these affirmations that you're sharing, this is just the tip of the iceberg because you're just giving samples.
Oh, these
right?
are just samples of them all. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They all have a whole
so
bunch
continue,
more.
Please.
And I can just guarantee you play these programs and problems just start to disappear by themselves. You know, that's all there is to it. I also find that, you know, when I'm working with these programs, inspiration is just there. So it can be inspiration, you know, for practical things like solutions at work and, you know, the really practical. But on the other hand, it's also the very spiritual kinds of inspiration in that, you know, as I'm trying to answer the big questions for myself, who am I? Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? I start to form a picture. Things become clearer to me. I won't say that I'm there. I said it's a journey, but I just feel like things are falling in place and I get an idea and I have an idea of what it is I'm supposed to be doing. And I don't think there's anything you can ask for more than that.
Now, none of these programs are really addressing an anthropomorphized God.
Nope.
I mean, this is like the grand organizing designer. G-O-D, that's where the divine principle, all of the programs. Is that correct?
It's the connection. It's
so
that which
so it would fit
all.
Regardless of your belief.
Totally.
Okay, all right. Now, let me ask you this. That's 8 programs. Is that how many programs you just went through? Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that comes with it first?
You know, there is a booklet that comes with that, but we're also adding in your book. You know, one of my favorite ones, that's What Does That Mean? Exploring Mind, Meaning, and Mysteries. You know, you read that book, you will hear Eldon's story through all of that. Hear your story. We're right here. But you also, I know within me, it triggers memories of things. As you said, we've all experienced miracles, and there are no degrees of miracles. And when you acknowledge them, you allow them to happen even more. So I think that becomes the biggest key to that. When you acknowledge them and you say thank you for that, then you find that they're just happening more and more and more. And life just gets richer and better and peaceful and happy, and things work. So in case you haven't guessed, I'm pretty enamored with this this entire package. And I am so thrilled that we can offer it at such a low price.
So where do we go get it?
You know, the easiest way for everyone is just to go to eldontaylor.com. I have put a banner up at the top of the page. So just click on the banner. It'll take you out to all the information right there. So just go to eldontaylor.com. It's right there on the homepage. This is the ultimate in packages at an incredible price. I that thrills me that we can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Now, I've got an idea. Okay.
Okay.
It's your birthday.
It is.
And, you 50. Know, there.
I'm 50.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
It's funny. I don't feel any different to my early 20s, but 50 is magical. So thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
There is a philosophy out there that, you know, when it is your magical day, it is your birthday, you know, and you're expecting to receive all the gifts, that's when you do the giving.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
So now you have this reputation for being
Mama Claus.
Mama Santa, Mama Claus. All right, I'll take Mama Claus. All right. So I'll tell you what I think we should do on your 50th birthday. For every caller that calls in today, right now, you know, in what we've got, the next 6 minutes of the show, you just call in, say hello, and we'll send you this package absolutely free. Yours as Ravinder's gift
my
to you.
Birthday present to you.
There
yeah,
you
that
go.
Is absolutely fabulous. And yeah, to give that kind of peace to other people, that has to be the best gift ever. So thanks, gorgeous.
Yeah, well, I just think, hey, you deserve it. And of course, we created it for that reason. I mean, this is like almost $300 worth of goods if you were to just pick, you know, just go online and start buying it separately, you know. By the time you ship it, you're going to have $300.
But it's what our business is all about. I don't see it as a business at all. It's all about helping other people find that peace, balance, and harmony.
I totally agree. But now let's give every caller that has just filled the board an opportunity to join us. I'm not even sure that we're ready to take that call because I don't know who is on line one. So line one, when we do address you, please tell us who you are. Let's go to line one. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
Jennifer.
Jennifer, welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Jennifer. All right, now we're going to send you that program. I'm not even going to ask you for a comment, because if I ask you for a comment, somebody else won't be able to get in and get it. So we're just going to say thank you for calling, and
well,
Ravinder wishes you all the best as her birthday
and
present
happy
to
birthday.
You.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Yes,
you enjoy
you so
this package. You tell me what you experienced with that.
I will.
I look forward to that, Jennifer.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great one. Thanks for calling. Okay, let's talk with Brian on line two out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Brian.
Happy birthday, Ravinder, and thank you so much. This is Celestial B.
Well, hey. Cool. For everyone out there who's not aware, CB is in our chat room all the time. So that makes it even more special. It's wonderful talking to you. I will get you out this package. You have to hold on the line and tell Joe all your details, but we'll send you the package, and you have to tell us your experiences with it.
I sure will. I'll share them in the chat room. And hello, all the chat buddies. Hi.
Hi. Thanks
birthday,
so much, CB.
Birthday.
Thanks for calling, Brian. All right, let's go to line three. We're going to do this quick. I think we have, is it Salma or Salima?
Salima.
Hi there.
Salima, hi. Happy Welcome birthday, to Provocative Mr. Enlightenment.
Thank you, and very happy birthday to Ravinder.
Thank you, Salima. This has to be the best birthday ever.
Now, you be sure and stay on the line, Salima, and our producer, Joe, will get your details, and we'll get this package out to you. And I'm just going to keep ratcheting on down here so we can give as many away as we possibly can. Thanks for calling. All right, let's go to line four, and we have Suki out of Seattle, Washington. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Suki.
Thank you, and happy, happy birthday.
Thank
happy
you so much, Suki.
Happy 50th year.
Thank you.
It's a big one, isn't it? All right, Suki, you stay on the line. Joe will get your details, and we'll get one off to you.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. All right, let's go to line five, and we've got Claudia in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Claudia.
Hi, thank you, and happy birthday.
And thank you.
Happy birthday and many, many more. And, yeah, 5-0 is a big one. And thank you for all you do. You guys are wonderful.
Oh, it's indeed our pleasure. And you should see the smile on my wife's face. She is loving every minute of this. Claudia, you stay on the line. Joe will get your number, your details, and we'll get a package out to you, too. Thanks
Poor
for calling.
Joe is working crazy today. Thank
what did you,
you
say? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Joe, but I warned you. All right. On line six, we have Aline from New York. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment. Aline, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
We're great. You got a happy birthday wish for my pretty bride?
Happy, happy birthday, Ravinder.
Thanks, Dr. Eileen.
Taylor, thank you so much for everything that you do. You make my life better every day.
Oh, well, thank you. We greatly appreciate that. You stay on the line. Joe will get your details, and we'll get a package right out to you. Thanks,
thank
Aline.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
Hey, thank you. Now, you know, everybody listening to this, you can go to Ravinder's Facebook page. It's Ravinder Taylor. You can find her real easy and wish her happy birthday there too. You know that I had my birthday. I had hundreds of them, and it is just absolutely overwhelming. It's a fantastic feeling. All right. On line seven, we have Linda from Redwood City, California. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And happy, happy birthday.
Thank you, Linda.
All right, you stay on. Joe will get your details. We'll move right on down. On line eight, we have Tracy from Redlands, California. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Tracy.
Oh, thank you. Happy 50th birthday, Ravinda. I just turned 50 myself, so happy birthday to you. And thank you. Thank you so much for the blessing for my 50th birthday that I'm going to have in receiving
Well, happy
this.
Birthday to you too, Tracy. Isn't 50 magical?
I sure am hoping so.
Oh, it is. It is, definitely. We've got so much more to do, and we've grown a lot. So
all right.
Fabulous.
All right. I'm going to cut you off because I want to give
thank
a couple
you.
More away. Thanks for calling, Tracy. Okay, let's go to line nine and talk to Robin out of Indianapolis. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Robin.
Hello, hello, and happy, happy, happy 50th birthday.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you so much. And you know what? I turned 50 October 1st.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank
50
you.
50 is fabulous.
Yeah, thank you. And happy, happy birthday. Thank you
and,
so thank much. You.
And thanks for calling, Robin. I'm going to get one more real fast on line 10 out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Welcome. Say happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Oh, how
all right. We're out of time. Love you. Stay on
Thank
the phone. Joe will get your details. I'm sorry, but we've come to the end of another hour of Provocative Enlightenment. I want to thank the team at Hay House Radio for making what we do on this show so pleasurable. And of course, a big thank you to our guest and to all of you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed our show, and we'll join us again next week, same time and same place. And if you have comments on our show, do let us know. Until then, remember, believing in yourself always matters.